soberly, and then they are to live righteously. They are to do what is right. How do we do that? By following the teachings of the Word of God, by following the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to live godly, living our life after the manner of Jesus Christ, reverently, devoutly. So this grace teaches us how to live. Hey, guess what? We're out of time. We're going to pick this up the following Sunday. God bless, and stay warm. And as the Lord allows, we'll either meet there at the community center, or we'll meet in the sky.
You've been listening to Strength for Today from the Bible Teaching Ministry of Pastor Doug Vick of the First Baptist Church of Durand. If you have a question or a comment about what you've heard today, call or text the church at 715-894-7555, 715-894-7555. You're also invited to visit them on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m.
It's 9 o'clock at Real Country 1430 AM Stereo, WRDN, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM Translator, W297CH, Durand. Time now for the weekly service from the First Baptist Church of Algiers in Walker, Louisiana.
Dear Father, we do come thanking you for thy many blessings to us. Lord, I do thank you for bringing each one of us here this morning. I thank you for the Bible school. Lord, I do ask you now for this worship time, Lord, that you'll bless the service here. Bless me. Give me words to speak. Help me to stand and to proclaim Christ and his blood and his offering, his sacrifice. Help me, Lord, I might speak the truth one more time. Lord, be with us here. Bless us. Bless the message as it goes out. Bless all the radio stations, all the internet, all the means, Lord, the CDs, the flash drives, the printed messages. Bless it, Lord. Use it for thy purpose. Lord, I do ask you for all our sick folks, those on our prayer list, for each one. Lord, you know all the problems, the needs that each one faces. We ask you for them. Have mercy, Lord. Heal, raise up, comfort the bereaved. Have mercy, Lord. Bless us. Go with us through this time. Bless the offering as we receive it. May it all be used for God's glory, to get the gospel out to this lost, dying world. Guide us, keep us now, and ask all this in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Well, this broadcast is coming to you from the chapel here at the First Baptist Church of Algiers, and we're located at 9559 Florida Boulevard here in Walker, Louisiana. Our mailing address, if you'd like to send us a letter or postcard, let us know you're listening. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. And I want to thank you. Ask you that are hearing us on the new radio stations. We're on several new radio stations that we started this year. So if you hear us, you on the hear us on these new stations, let us know. write us a letter. I'm Brother Glenn Bond. I want to welcome everyone here, those on the radio, the internet. Welcome you. Stay tuned for the next hour, and may the Lord give you a blessing. We have an internet website. If you want to look us up on the internet, you can go to radiomissions.org, and you can find our website there. You can find where you can listen to the services live over the internet. You can send us email to pastor@radiomissions.org, and we'd love to hear from you. So let's start our services in the Red Book, number 481, Where the Gates Swing Outward Never, verses 1, 2, and 4. At this time, and we have many sick and in need of prayer. First, I want to let you know Brother Carson Needham passed away early this morning, and let's all remember him and his family in prayer, and Lord, comfort those. Then we have Miss Wileen Lovis and her sister Miss Peaches, and Miss Wileen is back at home, and Miss Peaches is still having problems. So she's not back home yet. I believe she's in a therapy place, and I forget the words, but let's pray for them. And then Brother Ben White and his family, Brother Kenneth and Miss Dory Gayo, Miss Dorothy Vale, Miss Pat Kaufman, Brother Gerald Robinson, Miss Marie Thompson, Miss Ginger Denton and her daughter Lindsay, Brother Ronnie Sardalamachi and his wife and brother, and they're doing a little better. He was able to get help for his wife and those things, so things are beginning to look up for him. And we have Miss Theda Adcock, Miss Carolyn Antwine, Miss Aloise Antwine, Miss Becky Boudreaux, Miss Audrey Thomas, Brother Joaquin Martinez, Brother Terry Newton and his dad, Brother Russell Perry, Brother David Davis, and Miss Jessie Dwyron. So let's remember them as you go to prayer. Ask the Lord for them to heal and raise up. And then we have in the nursing home Brother Jimmy Gayo, Brother Clifford Birchfield, Miss Mary Perrin, Miss Claudine Fisher, and Brother Harold Cranfield. So let's ask the Lord for them. Let's send up many prayers to the Lord that he'll heal our people and raise them up. So let's take our red book now and turn to number 495, Meet Me There, verses 1, 2, and 3. To tell everyone, meet me there. Let's take our selected hymns now, turn to number 75, On the Jericho Road, verses 1 and 2.
Jericho Road.
Through the worldly moral.
glad to be back with you this morning. I thank the Lord for mercy and grace to me all the days of my life. And I want to speak this morning. I've titled the message, The Difficulty of Salvation. And I want to speak on salvation, how the Lord saves. Salvation is not difficult in itself, but we make it difficult. The world around us is contrary to salvation. It opposes salvation. And we're raised up in this world, and we've been taught all the things of this world, and we've learned the things of this world quite well. So I want to look at why people are not saved. And I'm talking about true salvation. I believe that most people who call themselves saved today, in our churches today, I believe that most of these people have no understanding of what true salvation really is. And I say that because I see the churches, I listen to them on occasion, different ones, and I see what is being preached and held out as salvation. And our people are being led astray by the pastors and preachers of our churches today. There's much deception in the world, and I want to look at some of it. One of the primary reasons for the lack of truly saved people is the lack of truly saved preachers and pastors. Now, I say that boldly, and I know that the average pastor or preacher will deny that and refute it. But his preaching doesn't hold up. Now, a man can learn the Bible. He can study it, learn it, learn all about it, and he can learn all the doctrines of the Bible and all these things. He can learn them well. You can go to the seminary schools and you can be taught all that man can teach you. But man can only teach you so much. No man can teach what he doesn't know. And our people don't know salvation. And that's one of the great problems we have. If a man's not saved, he cannot preach or teach salvation in Christ because he doesn't know it. He can teach you the Bible. He can teach you what the Bible says. He can elaborate on it and explain it to you. But there's a big difference between the Bible and being saved. You might think, oh, well, what's the difference? And I can't see the difference, but there's a difference. The Bible tells us plainly, Isaiah 54:13, he says, all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. Now, you may read that and go on and think nothing of it, but what does that mean? All thy children. Whose children? He's talking about Jacob's children or David's children? Whose children is he talking about? He's talking about God's children. Not all the children of the world, but everyone that is saved. We find the Bible in different places. We'll refer to the redeemed as the children of God. And that's the children that we're speaking of. All thy children, the children of God, the redeemed, those who have been saved, truly saved, all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. The Lord God, not of man. Won't be taught of the preacher, the pastor, the pope, or these things. Every person who is ever saved will be taught of the Lord. You will. I remember what the Lord taught me. If you've not been taught of the Lord, then you're not saved. And that's plain and simple. And that'll hold. God's children will be taught. And if you're not taught, then you're not one of God's children. Now, John Gill says, the Lord will take care that they be taught. Even all of them, from the least to the greatest, they shall be taught of the Lord himself by the ministers of his word and by his spirit. And this means they are taught, listen, they are taught to know themselves, to know their vileness, their sinfulness, their folly, their weakness, their want of right counsels, and their own insufficiency to know Christ and his way of salvation. Now that's what the Lord teaches. You say, well, you just listed it all off. Can't we just go back and study that and understand that? That shouldn't be too hard to do. No, you can try it. And you can put all your effort into it. But unless the Lord bless it and make it real to you by the Holy Spirit and cause you to know, it won't do you any good. All this is brought about by the Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit, the third person of the triune God. You can't learn these things in a seminary, college, or any place else. They come from God. Now, when we think about salvation and the difficulties of getting to Christ, one of the greatest problems this country faces is that our preachers and teachers don't know Christ in the salvation of their soul. They don't know Christ. They don't know what it means to be a lost sinner. They don't know what it means to know themselves or their sinfulness, their folly, their weakness, their insufficiency. They don't know. And when a poor sinner comes to your typical pastor and he says, I'm lost, I'm a sinner, what can I do? I want to know Christ. I want to be saved. And the average pastor, all he knows to do is, just give your heart to Jesus and say this little prayer and believe and live the best you can. That doesn't do anything for you. Amen. That doesn't put away your sin. That doesn't give you comfort or peace. It leaves you right where it found you. Lost, without Christ, and on the road to hell. Now the problem goes back even farther, even deeper. When we read God's word, the Bible speaks of a falling away, a great apostasy. And we find that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. It says, let no man deceive you by any means. And that's what we have today. There is a deception in the world, around the world, with our preachers and our pastors are saying, well, you're okay. Just say this prayer, just believe, give your heart to Jesus, pray through, be baptized. Let no man deceive you by any means. This deception's going around. For that day shall not come. What day? The coming of the Lord, the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord will not come except there come a falling away first. A falling away. The churches falling away from sound doctrine. The churches leaving the true gospel, leaving it and preaching and picking up, sending out another gospel, which is not a gospel. That day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. We're in that time, that falling away. And I believe we have mostly fallen away. There's not much left. But John Gill says about this, and keep in mind, John Gill died in 1771. He wrote this a long time ago. He said, it's the falling of men from the faith of the gospel, from the purity of gospel doctrines, discipline, worship, ordinance. He says, this is not speaking of some Jews who professed faith in Christ and then departed from it, a few people that said they believed and then went on and later left the truth. He says, it's not speaking of some Christians who professed faith and then went off to be Gnostics. But it is to be understood of a more general defection in the times of the papacy, which is the Pope, the times that we have now, when not only the Eastern churches were perverted and corrupted by Muhammad and drawn off to his religion, and we have so much of that today, but he says the Western churches were most sadly depraved by the man of sin bringing in errors. This is John Gill, 1771, when he died. And he's telling us this, the same thing that the Bible has written, is explaining it to us and how it fits so well with what we have today. Bringing in errors of all sorts in doctrines and making innovations in every ordinance and appointing new ordinances, introducing Judaism and paganism into the churches, leaving the gospel of Christ. Now we have left the gospel of Christ. Our churches have left it. This falling away is here. Our preachers and teachers today have been taught by those who have fallen away from the plain, simple doctrines of God's word. We have error. They have introduced all manner of error into the church, and it is being taught as a doctrine of God, as if this is what God told us to do. God told us to preach this, but it's not in God's word. Listen, the Bible tells us, Matthew 15:8, and this is what we have today. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me. Listen, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. We have left the old, true doctrines of God, and we're teaching man's opinion. That's what Christ told us. They was having the same problem then. We have the same thing today. We ain't seen much change, have we? People are worshiping God with their lips, singing, dancing with their bands and all these things, and their heart is far from God. Their heart is taken up with the things of this world and the pleasures of this world. We're not concerned with God or his worship. I believe that our big churches especially are taken up with the love of money. Big crowds. Get more people to come in. They don't preach that man's a sinner. They don't tell you that you must repent. They don't tell you seek the Lord or call on the name of the Lord or come and reason with the Lord. They say, just say this prayer. Just say this prayer. Just believe. Just be honest. They say, don't worry about repentance. That's an old thing. Just say this prayer. And what we have today is the results of the error that has come from this falling away. That's what we have today, and it's not going to get better. It's just going to get worse. Salvation is not difficult. The Lord calls every person to come to Christ. And the problems that you encounter in coming to Christ are your own doing. It's your own doing. They all come about from your own wicked heart and from your own depravity. The natural heart doesn't want Christ. Christ has said, come. He said, come reason together. He said, come to me. He says, ask, ye shall receive. Knock, and it'll be open to you. You have all these things that the Lord has told you. You might even say commandments of what the Lord has demanded that you do. And what are you doing? What are you doing? You won't come. You won't reason. You won't knock. What do you expect the Lord to do? What do you think he's going to do? You think he's going to just say, oh, well, don't worry about it. And you die. Just come on into heaven. Bring all your sin, your wickedness, your depraved nature. Bring all that with you. No, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You're going to come to Christ. You're going to plead with him. You're going to seek his face. You're going to confess that you're a sinner. You're going to repent, or you're going to go to hell. Now, you can come to Christ. You can plead with him. You can seek his face. You can knock. But none of these things will save you. These are not the things that save you, but yet you have to do these things. You're saved by what Christ has done there on the cross. You're saved because of what he has done and not what you do. It's Christ. It's Christ. It's his blood. Now, there's many that think that we have a free will. And many churches follow the Arminian doctrine that teaches free will. And that's getting to be quite prominent. But we tend to be more Calvinistic here in our doctrine. And I want to look at it a little bit, that free will is not taught in God's word. That Arminian free will says that salvation is all in your power. If you want to be saved, then you just come down and give your heart to Jesus. Or you pray through. Or you say the sinner's prayer. Or you just believe of yourself. Whatever it is, it's within your power. But we don't find that taught in God's word. The Bible tells us that a man has no power to choose to be saved. You don't have it in you. You can't choose, much less come, because you have no desire for Christ. The Bible says salvation is of the Lord. God does all of the saving. He puts the desire for salvation in you. He gives you grace to seek the Lord. He gives you repentance. He gives you faith to believe. He does it all. And now you say, well, Well, what am I supposed to do? Just sit here and do nothing and wait for the Lord? No. What does the Bible tell you? The Bible says seek the Lord. The Bible says reason with him. The Bible says knock. The Bible says come. The Lord has to put the desire in you. If the Lord never puts a desire in you, you're never concerned for your soul, you're just going to go out and never come back. Now that's the way it is. You're here, you have a desire, you better use it. You have an opportunity. The Bible says, you will not come to me that you might have life. And when we look at this verse, we see plainly that man has a will, because it's spoken of here. He says, ye will not. Look how this verse could be written. It could be written like this. It is your will or your desire to not come to me that you might have life. That is the natural heart. You don't want to come. The natural desire of every lost sinner is to not come. It is to stay away. It is to leave Christ, to go away from Christ, not to come. If left in that state, every lost sinner will stay there. And it doesn't matter how often he goes to church. It doesn't matter how great a preacher he listened to. It doesn't matter how many times he gives his heart to Jesus, or how many times he says a sinner's prayer, or how many times he's been baptized. It doesn't matter. What you do is not what will save you. It's what the Lord does. If the Holy Spirit never comes and works in your heart to awaken you and put that desire for salvation in you, you'll never be saved. Never, never, never. He says, ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Not only do you have a desire to not come, but this indicates that you're dead. Have no power to come, even if you did have a desire. He says that you might have life. That you might have life. That's an indication that you don't have life. You're dead in trespasses and sins. If you were alive already, you wouldn't need life. No need for it. But look what the Bible tells you. It says you're dead. It says Ephesians 2:1, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2:5, even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us. Colossians 2:13, and you being dead in your sins, hath he quickened. This is all being spoken to the redeemed, to the saints, speaking of how they were dead and the Lord quickened them, made alive. They were lost sinners. They were dead, but now they're saved. Paul's telling them, you were dead before the Lord came and quickened you, made you alive. Every lost sinner is dead in trespasses and sins. You're spiritually dead and you have no spiritual desire, no spiritual longings, no desire for salvation. You're dead. And a dead person can do nothing. A dead person can do nothing. So how can you do anything to save yourself? If God has made you concerned about your soul, then you need to plead with the Lord that He, God, will increase that desire, quicken you, and bring you on to Christ for salvation. Don't think that you have anything to do with it. Don't think that. By nature, you don't have a concern any concern that you have, the Lord's put there. The Lord does it. The Armenian doctrine says that a sinner has power to come to Christ. He has power to believe. But the Bible says that Christ has all power. All power. And the only way any person has power to do anything is to receive power from Christ. Receive it from God. The Lord must give it. God must give it. If you want that power to believe, you're going to have to come to Christ for it. Beg and plead with him. He's never given you that power. He hasn't. You don't have anything because he says you're dead in trespasses and sin. What power do you have? None. You're dead. If you're concerned about your soul, if you want to be saved, then you need to come to Christ and beg and plead that he'll save you. Are you concerned? If you're concerned, then I believe God has started a work in you. The Lord has already started a work in you. He's given you enough power to be concerned. He's given that to you. Use that power that he's given you, that concern for your soul, and plead with the Lord for salvation. Beg and plead with him. God has given you that power. He's given it to you. So will you go on in your lust for the pleasures of the world? Will you continue on and never call on the Lord? Will you squander that precious gift that God has given you? Will you? Look how the Lord describes salvation in Matthew 25, and we don't have time to read it all, but you go there and read 14 through 30 in Matthew chapter 25 and look at how the Lord gave each one of his servants money, gives some more than others and gives some less, but that's God's business. He gives every one of you a concern for your soul. Now you listen. He gives you a concern for your soul, just like he gave those servants money. And some of those servants used their money wisely, and they profited from it. But there was one who didn't want to take any risk, and he did nothing with what the Lord gave him. And when his time was up, he had to account for what he did with the Lord's gift. And my friend, I tell you, when the Lord's time is up, or your time is up, you're going to have to give account to the Lord for what he has given you. You concerned a little bit about your soul? Will you take that concern that the Lord has given you and use it and plead with the Lord? Will you? God doesn't make everyone concerned. If you look at that story there, we find that the Lord gave just his servants. We can think of them as the elect. Gave them a concern. Will you put that concern that the Lord has given you, will you put it away, push it in the back of your mind, cover it up with other thoughts and forget about it? Will you hide it away and never come back and use it? You're going to give account for it. The Lord has given it to you. He's given it to you that you might use it and profit with it. Look what the Lord said to the servant who did nothing with what the Lord gave him. He did nothing. I want to read you these few verses, Matthew 25, starting at verse 24. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Here's your money back. Is that what you're going to do in your time when you stand before the Lord? Lord, there's your concern back. You can have it. I don't want it. I ain't interested in it. I wasn't concerned. Wasn't enough. Is that what you think? It wasn't enough concern to do anything with? Maybe this servant said, well, it's only one talent, and it's not enough for me to do anything with. I'm going to just stash it away, and when he comes back, I'll let him have it. Is that what you're going to tell the Lord? That concern you gave me wasn't enough? But look what the Lord said to him, that 26th verse. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Is that what the Lord's going to tell you? Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and that I gather where I have not strowed. You know what the Lord requires of you. You know what the result is going to be when you stand before God. You know. He says, thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. I would have profited a little bit from it, but you did nothing with it. He says, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. He doesn't want it. Give it to somebody else. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What's the Lord going to say when you stand before him in that last day? What's he going to say to you? Are you going to come to the Lord and say, well, Lord, here's your concern back. I didn't use it. I don't need it. Can you imagine that? Can you? In this parable, we see the servant was lazy. He was unconcerned about the Lord's work. All he wanted was an easy life, to eat, drink, and be merry. He wasn't concerned about the Lord's work. He wasn't concerned about what the Lord had wanted him to do with the money. He said, the Lord's gone. I'm here on my own. I can do what I want to do. And I'm going to enjoy life and do what I want while I can. The Lord's coming back, and you're going to give account for what you've done in this life. Are you going to do something with your time, your concern, your money, your blessings, your life? The Lord has given you all these things. You have time to seek the Lord. You're still here. You're not dead. You have more opportunity to seek the Lord. You can call on him now. Do you want to squander all of that through this life? Squander all the blessings the Lord has given you just for a few, what that song says, for a moment of pleasure at the most? Just a moment. It's going to all be gone soon. And you'll find that you have squandered away everything that the Lord has given you. Are you concerned about your soul? Are you concerned about eternity? Are you concerned about where you'll spend eternity? Have you thought about it? Do you ever think about it? Think about it. Eternity in hell, what does it mean? What will it mean? Can you imagine it? Think about it. The Lord has blessed you, brought you under a ministry where you can hear the truth. Nobody's telling you here, oh, well, don't worry, you're okay, just say this little prayer. Just believe as best you can. Go on with your life. You're okay. No, you ain't hearing that here. What you're hearing here is repent. Forsake your way. Forsake your thoughts. Call on the Lord. Plead with Him. You're going to hell. And you'll be there soon enough. It'll happen. You ever think about something? You plan it for a long time, 6 months, maybe a year in advance. Maybe you think about college, you young people. College one day, something far in advance, and it's years away, and you spend your time, and you think about it on occasion, and you go on, and you think about it. One day, it's going to come about. One day, it's going to happen. One day you're going to be faced with it. It'll be there. And one day your life will be over. One day you're going to stand before God. One day you're going to give an account for what you've done in this life. One day you're going to have to answer to God. And He's going to say, I've given you these talents. I've given you concern for your soul. I've given you life. I've given you true pastors and preachers to teach you and to tell you to plead with the Lord. I've given you all these things. And what have you done with it? What have you done? You're like the slothful servant. You've stashed it away. You've pushed it out of your mind. I don't want to hear it. I'm not concerned with it. I want to enjoy life. I'm going to do what I want to do while I can. Is that what you think? Do you want to be saved? Do you? Nobody wants to go to hell. Nobody wants to go to hell. The descriptions of hell are terrible. Nobody wants to go there. We don't even want to think about it. But do you want to be saved? It's natural to say, I don't want to go to hell. But it's not too natural to say, I want to be saved. Certainly, everybody wants to go to heaven. It's a nice place. But do you want to be saved? Do you want to be saved? Do you want to seek the Lord? Are you concerned for your soul? Now, I know in my life, I was just, before the Lord began to deal with me, I was just another worldly person. I considered myself to be good, better than most. I was steeped in self-righteousness. And the Bible says all those self-righteousnesses, plural, are filthy rags. They stink in the nostrils of God. He hates them. He won't have it. But that was me, and I was just like that. I wasn't concerned about my soul. I wasn't seeking the Lord. I didn't want to go to church. And I didn't want to be saved. I wasn't concerned. I didn't want to go to hell. I wanted to go to heaven, but I wasn't concerned about being saved. And I went through most of my life like that. Coming to church on occasion, hearing the true gospel, having the true concern for my soul pop up on occasion. But I went about my life. I pushed it away. I put it out of my mind. I didn't want to think about it. But one day the Lord made it real to me. One day I couldn't get away from it. One day the Lord showed me that I'm a sinner. One day the Lord sent the Holy Spirit to work in my heart. And that's what the Lord has to do. He has to send the Holy Spirit. Plead with the Lord. Plead with the Lord. You're going to have to beg the Lord if you want to be saved. You can't do anything at all. You can't even beg the Lord if He doesn't move on your heart. But you here today, the Lord is moving some in your heart and your life. You can understand. You can plead with the Lord today that He'll not leave you to yourself. You can plead with Him now. You have time now. You have energy now. You have ability now. You can call on the Lord even today. You can beg and plead for your soul. Lord, have mercy. Lord, help us. Our Father, I thank You for this time. I thank You for Thy word. I thank You for Christ. I thank You for the shed blood, Lord, that washes whiter than snow. I thank You for Thy Holy Spirit that comes and works in the heart. Lord, help us. Have mercy on us. Send Thy Holy Spirit among us to prick hearts, to awaken, to cause our people to see their need. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Bless us and keep us now. Bring us back tonight. And we ask it all in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.
You've been listening to the First Baptist Church Algiers weekly service from Walker, Louisiana. If you would like to find out more information about the church or send a prayer request, visit radiomissions.org. That's radiomissions.org. It's Sunday morning on WRDN.
Radio Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM.
At Advent Health, we believe wholeness isn't any one feeling. It's all of them. Laughter to tears and everything in between. So never, ever stop reaching for what makes you feel whole. Learn more at adventhealth.com/human spirit.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of sunshine out there for today. Southwest winds and highs near 30 this afternoon. In the overnight, mostly clear skies, lower 20s. West to southwest winds, quite gusty. It stays breezy Monday, partly sunny and upper 30s. Grandpa's barbecue sauce made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. It's 6 at our studios.
Great music, familiar local voices, news, and information. It's all here. You found Real Country, 1430 AM stereo, WRDN, Durand, Nelson, Maiden Rock, and 107.3 FM. Translator W297CH, Durand.
Coming up next, please stay tuned for It Is Written, presented by Pastor John Bradshaw.
This is It Is Written. I'm John.